Hello, Divorce and Beyond family. I've got some exciting news because we have teamed up with Headspace to guide you toward better mental health. With Headspace's meditation, mindfulness tools, and mental health support, you're set for a journey to a happier, healthier you. And there's more, because if you sign up through our exclusive link, you'll enjoy 2 weeks of Headspace membership for free. So don't miss out on this opportunity to embrace your well-being. You can check out the show notes for the link, or just go to divorcebeyond.com/Headspace-Susan, and you'll be able to start your path to peace and joy today. This is just one more way that we can support you on your journey to a better beyond.
Coming up on today's episode of the Divorce and Beyond podcast.
When we hold on to things, we know deep down inside we're holding on to it. Maybe I've earned that as an excuse, because letting go is hard, and it requires us to look at ourselves, and it requires work, and it requires us to give up something. It's loss. And so we lose something that, even though it was awful or it sucked, it was still ours.
Hello, and welcome to the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host. As a top divorce attorney and family law mediator for 30 years, I know what you need to know to get through your divorce, and most importantly, how to move beyond it to thrive and transition to your new future. My experts and I are here to give you the insider view into the process, so listen in for the wisdom and expert information you need on your journey through divorce and beyond. Hello, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host. And listeners, this is one of those special episodes where I was getting a lot of feedback from you all. So I decided there was a topic we needed to talk about. And what do I do when that happens? I go out and get our best expert to talk to about the issue. So I've done it again, everybody. I've brought back our friend, Jill Scherer Murray. She's been on, I believe, 3 times so far, Jill.
Oh my gosh.
You talked about, Jill is the, I don't know what, you're not the talker, you're not the TED talker. She is a professional speaker, and she has a viral TEDx talk called The Unstoppable Power of Letting Go. Of course, that will be linked in the show notes if you haven't already seen it. And she is the author of the best-selling book, Big Wild Love. She came on twice around the book launch, and we talked about Big Wild Love, which relates back to this issue of letting go and moving on. And in a minute, you'll all understand why I asked Jill to come back, because there's no one better to talk to this about. But first, Jill, as always, thank you so much for coming back. It gave me wonderful energy to know that you were on my calendar for today. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Oh my God. And right back to you, Susan. 3 times. I want a blazer.
Yeah. Now that you've got, well, I think you have to host 5 times.
Okay.
To get the,
all right.
You know, well, the 5 timers club. So this will be your 4th the
okay.
next time.
Next time I get a blazer. I'm excited about that. Yeah.
We have a few people in that category. Our friend Christina McGee has made it into the more than 5 timers, and a few others, but you will be. But this topic does go back to letting go.
Yes.
And it's actually an important, we're laughing as we often do on this show, but it's a serious topic because I had posted, you guys have all heard me talk about the cocktail party story if you've listened to me for any period of time, because I tell it fairly often because it exemplifies sort of a situation that I have seen over my 30 plus years where people are traumatized by an aspect of the divorce process or by something that happened in the relationship, or the relationship over time, but find themselves beyond divorce, beyond the relationship, unable to let go and move on. So I had posted something on my Instagram about, you know, that woman telling me her story that, you know, all the horrible things that her ex had done during their divorce and during their marriage and how he had cheated. And it was quite a litany of things. And then at the very end of the story, she told me that the divorce had happened 26 years previously. And to me, that is just, it's an incredibly sad story. I felt in that moment a great deal of sadness for her because it was clearly, after talking about it, so still alive within her, right? It was something that in that very moment, she was living it again, and it wasn't a good place to be. So I posted about it, and in the post, I said, flippantly, I suppose, not meaning to, but I said, you gotta let that shit go, right? You gotta move beyond it. And I got feedback. Thank you, right? I always want to hear from you guys that was dismissive of her feelings, and that was dismissive and not acknowledging how hard it is to let go. And I just want you all to know, if you felt that or have ever felt that with me, I apologize, because that is not what I meant at all. Mine was more coming from a, for you, ma'am, I so much want for you healing and growth and a better life than this. And so it really was from there, but you know, words matter. And so I reached out to Jill and I said, Jill, you know, I really think that this is an important thing to talk about, because we tend to say that to people. How many times in your life, Jill, has somebody said to you, for God's sakes, woman, just let it go. You got to let it go. You got to move on.
Oh, and they say it to me all the time. And what's really funny about that, Susan, is they say it to me all the time. And what's really funny about it is, you know, because I have a talk that, you know, is viral and my book.
Yeah.
They're like, I know somebody who wrote a book about letting go. And I think to myself, right, did you read it? Because it's not so, I've had people sing the Frozen song to me, like, because it's not easy.
Let it go.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Like, because they say, people say it all the time. And it's not so easy to let things go. So I want to say that first and foremost, like, never in any of my conversations or, you know, my talk or through the book, like, I hope what comes through, especially in the book, because the talk I had 10 minutes, but in the book, like, with deep clarity, that letting go is a process and it takes time. And I'm with you. You know, when I hear stories about people in this particular instance, 27 years is a very long time to be holding on to divorce. You know, things happen in our lives that affect us and live inside of us. That's for absolute sure. And they're not always hard to let go of. I think, you know, part of that is really, see how I'm talking, I've been asking me a question yet, but I think part of it is that if this woman is holding on to a 27-year experience that happened 27 years ago, and it's getting in the way of her life, that's one thing. If she has the occasional pang or feeling or memory of the experience and the impact that it had on her, and then she's able to process it and move forward and not let it impact her life, not let it get in the way of her finding love again, if that's what she wants, or having a specific relationship with people in the world, then that's fine, you know, because things come back up. They just do. That's part of life. But if it's really stopping her from having the kind of life that she wants to have, that's when holding on becomes an issue. And that's when we really do need to sing the song and say, let it go, and move into that process, because it's a process.
That is such an important aspect of it. And I think you're right, right? I was probably talking to her for half an hour at that cocktail party. I honestly do not know what it has held her back from doing.
Right.
But I can tell you in that moment, you know me, you know there's an element to me that has an empathic overtone to it.
Yes.
So what I was picking up from her was sadness and anger at high levels, right? And it was, so for me, the response for her was a truly, everyone, a feeling of compassion that I felt so sorry that in her experience of life 27 years later, she was still living in a space, even if it was only for the 30 minutes she was talking to me. Because I don't know about
still
any
all
other
that
time
emotion
in her life.
Was still there for her. Yeah.
And they're they're crappy emotions. And
yes,
they were right there.
Yeah.
They were right there under the surface. Yeah. And so you kind of mentioned that these things will continue to come up, right? And I guess isn't that kind of what a trigger is, right? Like, me saying I was a divorce attorney must have been when she asked me what I did. Must have been enough to bring up the experience for her.
Right. And even having like the emotion of sadness and anger. I mean, I feel like things that might come up for me over time might result more in a melancholy, right? Not necessarily like an anger that might be festering in me and might be doing more harm than good. So it's hard to know, but I do think, especially after 27 years, we should have enough distance. And I'm not talking about, I know you're not either. Like, I'm not talking about like the death or loss of someone. Like, that's just grief that stays with us. But,
right.
But like still even having like that deep, intense anger or sadness around something after that level of time is a sign that maybe there's some work that we need to do, because maybe it's inside of our bodies and it's having an impact in ways that we can't see or feel. But letting go is always something that we need to talk about, because we are never, ever, ever done letting go, ever, ever. Like, until we're, you know, in that very last place.
Whatever it may be.
Whatever it may be. I hope for me it comes with a pizza, but hey.
Donuts.
Donuts, right. So yeah, it's a big topic. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and you and I will talk now for the 30 minutes, but I wanted to dive into the topic again, although we have our prior episodes on it, because you've said a few things there that I think are really relevant and I don't think that we've said before. Letting go is a process. It's not just you one day wake up and go, you know, this crap is not serving me anymore, and therefore I am going to let it go.
Right.
And the other thing that I want to be sure we touch on is that you're never actually done letting go. Because even if you manage to let go of one thing, if you ever really can, every day there's something new at some level that we need to let go of, get over, move beyond, et cetera. Life is a series of letting goes,
mm-hmm.
And new experiences. And so let's talk about the process first, because I think that's important. Just accepting that it's a process. No one is expecting you, when they say you've got to let that go, to just snap your fingers or wave a magic wand. But what can you expect when you want to, or there's a desire on your part to move into the process of letting go?
I mean, to me, that is such an enormous part of the battle, is that you actually want to release this thing, this mindset, this experience, whatever it is that you're holding on to that's affecting you so deeply, that you actually have the desire to let it go. You know, not everybody does. Some people want to hold on to it because they want to maintain the connection to the person, to the experience, to the fact that maybe they never found love again or never got married again. And they claim that as, look, I'm worthy because I one time did have that. I was desired at one time. Somebody did want me at one time. And so we hold on to jobs that are wrong for us because we're afraid that we're not going to find another job. We're going to be homeless or whatever the reason. Like, we hold on to things for reasons. And so somebody who actually wants to let go has already started doing the inner processing they need to do to realize that there's no longer a payoff for them in holding on to this thing. And so, and I write about this in my book. This is the big wild love part, right? This is the cultivation of, I'm tired. I don't want to hold on to this anymore. It is getting in the way. Subconsciously or consciously, I'm not feeling good and I'm ready. And that is a huge, huge, amazing sign that there's been growth, not just in terms of wanting to take an action that's going to lead to a better life, but there's also been a growth in terms of understanding what we deserve from life, what we're worth, our value. Life is short. We don't have a lot of time to spend and spin on things that are not going to give us the life that we want. So I think that's a really important part of the process. And I think once you can come to that where you're like, okay, I'm really truly ready to release this. Like, I don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want it to be in my way. Then you step into a process that I created that I use all the time because I have shit to let go of all the time.
Even though every day, we just said it, right? Every day.
And it's such, you know, getting into the process is really grounding because it kind of shows you that there's a way forward. And so when you get to that spot where you're like, I'm ready to let go, that's where you're ready to hit on the first step, which is having the epiphany that says, if I don't let go, then XYZ will happen. Gasp. Aha. Okay. There's some stakes here for me. So I'm going to deal with that epiphany. I'm going to have all the emotions around it. And the second step is I'm going to let myself live inside of that epiphany for a while. So, and feel it. So maybe it's, I know I need to get rid of this. I know I need to let go all of the sadness and anger I have around this emotion that I, this experience that I had 27 years ago. And so I'm going to give it one last pity party and I'm just going to like be sad and I'm going to cry and I'm going to think about what it could have been and have all the emotions and eat a lot of pizza and donuts. And then I'm going to prepare myself to say goodbye to it. However, that some people throw it in the ocean, you know, my friend saved
it. Set it on fire.
Right. Like whatever it is that you do to say, okay, I'm going to release this. Knowing that there may be times that it comes up again. And when it comes up again, it's okay. I can observe it and I can feel something about it. And then I can put it back in the ocean. Once I'm able to do that, then I can really start focusing on what do I want now? That's the third step, right? So now I've gotten rid of this. I've let this go because I want to have what? It's like, I'm ready to have a relationship again, a healthy relationship, not one that has me continue to work out the problems that I had in that bad relationship. So I'm ready for that. And I'm coming to it with a clean sweep. And so then the process becomes very forward motion, action oriented. What do I want? How do I get it? What else do I need to let go of? If I'm looking for a relationship, then you know, maybe I feel like I'm old now and I have that new limiting belief. Maybe I put on 10 pounds and I feel like I'm too overweight to be loved or I'm not the perfect body to be loved. There's always more like little things behind it. But if you want to let it go, this process grounds you throughout and asks you to look at those things and work through them so that you can have a plan to put a plan together, which is the last step to actually get where you want to go. So it's a very intuitive thing, but I will tell you that, like we were talking about before we started to record, we were talking about my book that came out and it came out in the middle of the pandemic. I feel loss around that because bookstores were closed and it didn't go exactly the way that I wanted. So in being able to write a second book, which was my goal, I knew that I had to let go of all of the like pity party sadness, bad thoughts and feelings I had around what happened during the first one. And so that really had me moving through that process in a big way. So I had to come to the realization if I was ever going to be able to write another word, I had to step outside of, oh my God, there was a global pandemic. Like, is that going to happen again? Why even bother? Why even do this? It's, you know, it's going to not work out. It's going to be all those thoughts that we get. Right. So I had to allow myself, but then I had to really think about what is it that I want? I'm a writer. Like, this is what I do. I write. So I want to write this other book inside of me that I need to get out. And so I need to understand what else is getting in the way of my doing that. And I needed to work through all of that to be able to move through that ambiguous loss, which is what, you know, I'm calling it, and move forward to write this, the next book, which I did. And as I did that, and as I worked through that next book, sure, it would come up. It would peak its, why am I bothering? Why am I doing this? Writing a book is hard. Why am I putting myself through this? Because it's who I am, because I love it. Because am I going to let this experience take that from me? Because am I going to deny myself the joy and the privilege and the pleasure of expressing my talent in the ways that I was born to do? So then it says, okay, and as you work through that process, this is what I want. Now, what else do I have to let go of around that? I have to let go of the belief that there could be another pandemic. I have to let go. Right. And maybe there will be, but so what? Right? I have to let go of the belief that it's all going to happen the same way, or the book isn't going to be good, or I'm not going to get it out, or I'm going to have writer's block, or I'm too old to write a book, or I don't look like an author anymore, or I can't speak on these things anymore because I don't have a personality anymore, or like any number of these things. But that process is such a grounding experience. So whether it's the process that I lay out, it's a process that you have and you've used in the past that you know helps you to move forward and release things that are standing between you and what you want, it's important to get in one and to also have grace during that process and to know that processes take a lot of time. When I talked about leaving my relationship in my TED talk, it took me a full year from the time I decided I was done to leave and recreate my life. There was a lot of work I had to do in order to prepare myself for that. So it's okay if it takes time, but you can't let the time, you can't backslide.
Hi, listeners. It's Susan. I'm just jumping in quickly because I want to share an opportunity with one of our experts who is launching a much needed new program for those who are facing high conflict divorces and separations. Karen McMahon of Journey Beyond Divorce is launching her new Divorce Readiness Masterclass, Navigate Your High Conflict Divorce with Mastery. Good news here, it's free. So if you're emerging from a high conflict marriage where there's been a clear power imbalance and you've lost yourself in the shadows of your spouse's personality and you're feeling scared and uncertain of what to expect throughout your divorce, this masterclass is for you. It's a 1-hour jam-packed session. You're going to get all kinds of understanding of what to expect, as well as strategies and approaches that are going to help you calm the chaos, ease the conflict at home, and get ready to get through your divorce process. So to register, go to jbddivorcesupport.com/masterclass, or just go to the show notes and click the link that we'll have for you there. Stay tuned for more from best-selling author, TEDx superstar, and letting go expert Jill Scherer Murray as she shares what you do and don't need to let go of and how you can get started on the letting go journey.
So we are afraid to walk away, but when we know our value and we know that we'll always be okay and we know what we deserve and we know what hurts us and what doesn't, we have a different sense and freedom that allows us to walk away.
If you're enjoying this episode, be sure to check out last week's show with activist and author Emma Thompson on her groundbreaking work in advancing the cause of equal parenting as the best solution for families in divorce and separation.
Schedule is, there's a number. So you know if you won or you lost, right? You know if it's fair or not. This is how human relationships are. Like, you can't measure your connection with your kids. You don't really know how they're turning out. It's like, it's always TBD. It's never finite, right? So we obsess over the things we can measure and we lose track of the larger picture often.
And now we return to today's show.
Let's sort of unpack that because we went through a lot right there and I want people, you know, to be thinking through the process. So you've described sort of the 4 stages of that process. 6, right? But well, you described 4.
4, okay.
As we were talking.
Yeah.
But one of them, or where we started was you've acknowledged that you want to let go.
Yeah.
But what I will say is I will imagine that there are a lot of people out there right now, and certainly the people who were DMing me with that Instagram post right. were kind of like, I don't want to let go of it. I earned it, or this was done to me, and why should I let it go? I'm entitled to my anger or my feelings, and you know, I'm perfectly acceptable for me to feel that way, whether it's for 27 weeks or 27 years, Susan. So let's go all the way back to that. Mm-hmm. And I just am curious about your thoughts on that, because is it, where are we in life? Is it I guess I'm not going to phrase this properly. Is it a good choice or an acceptable choice or a perfectly reasonable choice to stay holding on to something that's perhaps holding you back a little bit? But that's maybe my perception, right? Like, maybe these people who wrote this to me, they don't feel like they're being held back. I guess I'm not quite sure what the question is, but
maybe they're that. Right. You don't have to have a question with me ever, Susan. You know that.
Perfect.
I'll pass that now.
Bring it.
I'm getting a blazer. We're all good.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. People have to ask themselves. I mean, we can't intuit that from them, right? I would say to people, yeah, okay, you've earned it. You've earned the right to be, mad. You've earned the right to hold on to this. Sure. Good for you. You've earned the right for it. What is the payoff? What are you getting from that? Like, what are you getting?
How's that working for you? A little Dr. Phil.
Right.
How's that working for you?
Right. Like, what is the payoff? Like, if you feel like, well, I've earned that, that tells me that you're feeling very unseen in general. And maybe good that's point. The work that you have to do. Because I do believe when we hold on to things, we know deep down inside we're holding on to it. Maybe I've earned that as an excuse, because letting go is hard. And it requires us to look at ourselves, and it requires work, and it requires us to give up something. It's loss. And so we lose something that, even though it was awful or it sucked, it was still ours. My husband and I have this conversation all the time, because my husband is like, he studies shamanism, like he's into all that stuff, right? And I'm like, and Dr. Elizabeth and I had this conversation once, and I loved it. It was very empowering. We talked about forgiveness.
Our girl, Dr. E.
I know, I love her. And we talked about forgiveness. And, my husband is like, you have to forgive everybody. And I'm like, no, you don't. You don't have to forgive, but you do have to ask, how is that not forgiving getting in the way of your life? So I would say to people, if you're here, if you're one place and if you're point A, and you want to get to point B,
right?
Do you really want to get to point B? That's the first question I would ask. Do you really want to get to point B? And if you do, then I would say, what is standing? What are the things between you and point A and point B? And if one of them is getting beyond emotions around a previous experience, is what you, because you know, I know, you know what we need to do, right? Yeah. And you're not doing it because you're holding on to the idea that I've earned this. This is my right to have this rage or this anger or this sadness, then you need to either A, accept that you're not going to get to point B and be okay with that, in which case, hold on like it's a rope off a mountain, like hold on for dear life. But if you really want to get to that next place, then you have to look at it and say, why is it so important to me that I earned that? Why is it so important to me to hold on to these feelings? What about that gives me a validation, something that I need to have? Because that's really the biggest picture, is like, that's why we hold on. Because when we let go, it's loss. And it could be really good loss, but it's still loss. And so if we are not ready for that loss, we're not going to let go. That's where the big wild love piece comes in, knowing that if we let go of that, yeah, I'm entitled to my feelings. Absolutely. 1000% you are. Have them and then keep trucking. Have them and keep trucking. And if you don't do that, maybe it's time to do some more of the inner work around value, worth, and asking some of the bigger existential questions like, what do I want my life to be?
Do I want to stay? And that's all, you know, I think it was such a great response to what was a rather ambiguous question. So I appreciate that, because I think what you really did is broke it down there to not saying in any way, and maybe this is what was felt flippant to people, or that I was being a little too, you know, just like, oh, it's so easy, just let it go. And I think, you know, it wasn't just me. I think people, you know, often hear, or people, we tend to say to people, oh God, let that go. You got to let that go, right? We say it as if it were easy. And there's an acknowledgement there that it's not easy.
No.
But it is a choice. What I heard you saying is it's a choice that you need to make.
Yeah.
And it's solely and 100% your own choice.
Yeah.
It's not me telling you to let that shit go. It's not your friend telling you, you got to move on. But from a perspective of what's best for you, right? Whether you can get to point B. Because if point B, I think that's really the key to this whole thing, right? Is instead of focusing on point A, which has so much to do with whatever it is that traumatized you.
Yes.
If you really want to get to point B, then you have to be able to make your choice to go there, even if it means starting to let go of something. The other thing I want to make sure we touch on is that some things, because you mentioned this earlier, and I think it's important, there are certain things that we're never going to let go of, right? And, mm-hmm. and grief has so much to do. You mentioned when we lose someone that we loved yeah. to death
yeah.
or tragedy. Some that's, things you don't let go of, isn't that right?
That's right. Absolutely. There are a lot of things that we don't ever let go of. And that's okay. We get to decide what we keep and what we release, or what we keep and what we compartmentalize, or how we let go on a spectrum. So here's an example I'll give you. I know someone who had a body image issues, has body image issues. Okay. This was a story told to me from a friend. So I'm going to kind of retell it in an easier way. And so she wouldn't go into the swimming pool because she didn't want to put a bathing suit on ever. And then she one year wound up at the pool in like a little cover up, but she was at the pool and she had her feet in the water. And my friend said to me, it's such a shame that she won't go in. And I was like, why? She was there. She was participating. She was there with her at her own comfort level, right? Maybe she'll never let go fully of the body image. Body image is tough. That can be a lot of childhood stuff, right? That's hard to let go of. But she was getting herself to a place where she was comfortable being social, being participating. And if that meant being in a little cover up, sitting, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong. There's to me that we get to decide how we want to let go, how much we want to let go of, how important is it for us to be able to participate at the pool, right? And how do we figure out how to do that? So we can let go fully. We can let go on a spectrum. Maybe we're never letting go all the way, but we've found that certain things like not being there is denying me the ability to socialize with my friends. So I'm not going to be able to let go, and I'm not going to be in a bikini jumping in the pool, but I'm going to sit on the side of the pool in a beautiful cover up that makes me feel good about myself, put my feet in the pool and be with the people. Like, so the point is we get to decide that. You know, the other thing I will say, Susan, is that letting go is hard for us. There is loss, and loss is grief. And a lot of times we don't understand that's what we're feeling. And grief is tough. And a lot of times when we have a lot of grief around something, we need help. And there's no shame in that game. We need help figuring out how to release that grief or live with it or not let it get in the way of our life. And, you know, that's hard. And again, that also depends on like, what is the level of grief? What is the level of loss? And I also will say that, and this is something that is endlessly fascinating to me, and I feel it myself just in the world that we're living in with all of the, you know, hate and all of the stuff that's happening that is very frightening to me personally. We are hardwired biologically for safety. So our wiring doesn't want us to let go. Our biology wants us to be safe. And so it wants to say to us, you were just hurt by that. So no more. You're not going to do that again.
Right. Shut that down. No more of that.
Right. Yeah. So there's a whole other layer to this that we have to kind of overcome our natural instinct for safety, because letting go kind of blows out all of the dust. Because a lot of times we are holding on because we've had this horrible experience and it's a very self-protective act. I'm not going to get involved in another relationship because look how the last one turned out. That was really painful. Why would I go through that again? I could have just as happy a life with my friends and, you know, being on my own, even though secretly or maybe not so secretly, there's the desire for love because we're also wired for that.
It makes so, I mean, you say that and it makes so much sense to say, you know, something that hurts us is in some ways hard to let go of because there's a lesson in being hurt that triggers all of our, you know, personal safety and desire to protect ourselves.
Right.
So if you let it go and you just throw caution to the wind and put yourself in that situation again, oh my God, aren't you inviting pain again?
But here's the thing. If you can, as the lead up to the letting go process, as you prepare yourself to make the choice to let go, if you could use that time during the epiphany and the aftermath emotions of that epiphany, use the time to recognize and realize your value and your worth and your strength and your skills and your biology to survive. If you can coalesce all of that to tell yourself that I'm going to go out there and do it again, but differently, because now I know what I want. Now I know what I deserve. Now I know what my limitations are. I'm always ready to walk away. I'm always ready to walk away. This is such an enormous component of being able to let go, is because I think in so much of like what we let go of, we let go of relationships, we let go of jobs, we let go of friendships. We let go, we hold on because we're afraid that there's nothing behind it. Like another one's right. Not coming. So we are afraid to walk away. But when we know our value and we know that we'll always be okay and we know what we deserve and we know what hurts us and what doesn't, we have a different sense and freedom that allows us to walk away. When we sense, uh-oh, danger, we see the red flags. But again, these are also choices that we have to make. We have to be willing to step in that process and do the work after that bad experience so that we can cultivate that big wild love inside of us that allows us to always be letting go and always be ready to walk away. It's hard to walk away from love. You know, we read stories, people who don't find it, can't find it. We see the media, we see the reality shows, we hear from our friends. Oh my God, that's what I did. I have a wonderful, wonderful man who loves me. And yeah, he's not going to give me all the things that I want, but hey, it's a lot better than other people have. And I don't want to be alone. So, and to me at the time, that was the alternative. It wasn't if I walk away, then I can find the love that I really want. It was if I walk away, I'm going to be alone.
Alone, right. I won't have what I want. And I won't have be able to find it.
Ever again.
Ever, right. This is the last relationship I'll ever have. Sometimes, but we're human.
Right. Like same with the job. Yeah. I can't leave my job. It's a good job. I'm going to get another job? I don't know. I'm just going to stick this one out because I know what it is and I can handle it. But that's another choice. Is that how we want to live life?
Yeah, it's a fine line. I mean, what we're describing here is a very fine balance between, you know, being able to move forward and being so stuck in the past that we'll never move forward. And it is a constant walking that tightrope and making new choices and being able to enter the process and all of the things that you've described here. And, you know, one of the things that I'll say to people is, you know, this is a short podcast episode. I'm going to recommend, if anything in this episode has resonated with you listeners, go watch Jill's TEDx talk, again, linked in the show notes. Go get, even more importantly, Jill's book, Big Wild Love, which will always also be linked. That actually will walk you through all of the steps to letting go that she's been referencing and talking about. But, you know, so we've talked about a lot on a very big topic, and yet I feel like we've barely scratched the surface. But what one last thought would you like to leave people with as they're sitting there today in that space of, I don't want to let go, or I do want to let go, but it's just so damn hard?
Yeah. I mean, I would say to me, Susan, it's like, use your personal agency to get into the process. You don't have to go all the way through it. You don't have to eat the elephant. You know, it's like, just get in it. You know, the other thing I would say is, if you don't want to do it, you're not sure, just do the simple exercise that I talked about, which is, you're here, where do you want to go? If you can get from A to B without letting go of anything, A, more power to you, and B, have at it, hold on. But if you can't, ask yourself if you're worth it. That's the first question. What am I worth? And what's the payoff? And those are journal questions.
Define that, everyone.
Journal it.
Only you define that.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Journal it.
You and I are big fans. We have talked about the power of journaling on the show maybe once or twice before, but I am a firm believer. So, and there's, the book actually has exercises in it for you to do that are going to help you all walk through this. This isn't an ad for the book, but you know, if letting go is some part of a process that sounds to you like you need help and support, and as Jill said earlier, no shame in that, God knows, because we're faced with having to let go of big, small, and medium every single day. Mm-hmm. God knows we can all use a little help. I've used the book and the methods in the book. Now, you know, it just becomes a part of your life. It becomes a part of what you can do. So, Jill, I want to thank you for coming back, because you jumped right on this, as you always do, when I said to you, look, I think I've upset people. I did not mean to when I said, let that shit go.
Yeah.
What I want for my listeners, and what I hope you're all hearing, is that what I want for you is the life that you want.
Right.
And if something is holding you back and you need to get to your point B, need to let it go, I want you to know there are ways to do that and that you have support in doing that. And that's why I reached out to Jill. I just wanted to dive a little bit below such a complicated topic.
It is.
But You can let go. Watch Jill's TED Talk. Listen to her initial lesson, and then dive deeper, and you'll know. Letting go can be done. We've all had to do it. We do it every day. So thank you, my friend, for coming back. And
I loved it. Anytime I get to talk with you, Susan, and live in front of an audience, whoopee, even better.
Yes, let's do that sometime soon, and then we'll go out for pizza and donuts. Thank you for joining me today on the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I hope you found some information and inspiration to help you on this journey. Please join me every Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for a new episode. And if you like the show, please take the time to subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also find more information on the website at divorceandbeyondpod.com, where you'll find links to the YouTube channel, transcripts of the episodes, and other bonus content. So I'll see you next week to help you move through your divorce and beyond.